Ingram Smith here today doing the post-game instant reaction podcast. Bud Elliott is on holiday, if you will, enjoying a bachelor party, I hope. And in his absence, I will be standing in. So as a reminder, all of these podcasts are brought to you by Louisiana Hot Sauce and Madison Social, our two sponsors that we're very, very fortunate to have. And the instant reaction podcast is really just kind of a straight to consumer piece of audio, minimal editing, if any at all. So really our goal is just to get this out and to you as quickly as possible. Thoughts on today's game are really quite interesting, to be honest. It's a game of momentum swings. It's a game of kind of emotional swings as to where you feel this team is. You open the first play of the game, give up a 84-yard touchdown, and all of a sudden, all the questions, all the concerns that you have about this defense, some of the coaching staff, the program, in a broader perspective, come immediately into play. You then turn around, give it to what is your biggest question on offense, who takes it straight to the house, and within two plays, you have a 7-7 game. I thought after another pretty disappointing defensive performance on the second series that USF has the ball, which is highlighted or perhaps more appropriate, low-lighted, with them scoring on a play in which you, again, aren't lined up, aren't ready to play football at the time that the ball snapped. I thought that after that moment, for the next 30 minutes or so of gameplay, that Florida State played as well as we've seen them all year. You certainly have to keep in perspective as far as the opponent that you're playing and how good of a team USF is. The season will answer that question. But on the whole, I thought there were some real good things to take away from this game. But really, the more general theme is how much the defensive performance in the second half, really the end of the third, the beginning of the fourth, lingers with you and kind of sticks with you at what otherwise would have been a pretty nice moment of positivity as far as a nice rebound for the program. It's a game that you were, by the time the game kicked, you were only a 4.5, 5-point favorite. And yes, there's some moments in the fourth quarter that are frustrating. If the defense could have been more consistent at the end of the game, you're really looking at a different storyline leaving this game. But you still went on the road in a game that way too many of us were concerned that you could lose, and you ended up winning 55-35. So that is ultimately the thing that I would want to take away from this. It's a nice performance. At the same time, I think you have to look at it. And if you're going to recalibrate, readjust your expectations for the year after each game, which probably isn't a good thing to do, but if you want to go ahead and engage in something like that, I think the concerns that you have for the defense still linger and are really legitimate. For me personally, after watching this game, I don't accept a second loss, but I think you can understand where you see one. And this season for me anyways really becomes a lot more, really becomes much more about beating Miami, about beating Florida, and only sustaining one more loss, most likely to Clemson. The defense and some of the things surrounding it just seem to have a certain level of limitations that I think that's where you kind of have to be. It's a good win. You don't want to get too excited over a win over South Florida, but it's a win that you certainly weren't sure you were going to have coming into the day. I will say, as far as the specifics of the game, I think you're probably misleading your audience if you don't start the conversation with number four, and really to an extent, number nine. Dalvin Cook looked as good as he has all year. That is a statement that you can repeat three or four times over. That was very much the old Dalvin, if you will, or to use a cliche, and really almost as important of a storyline for me is not so much that you see Cook go for 267 yards and two touchdowns. It's the emergence of Jaquez Patrick. That is a guy who was as questioned as anybody on this team coming out of camp. And it's a guy who not only you're getting production out of, but at least to me anyways, it appears as though you're getting a real change in mindset and a change of mentality. A guy who is embracing what is being asked of him a couple times, even in the open field. You saw him kind of point to the guy in which he was going to engage next, a guy who really seems to be picking up the role of which is asked of him, a guy who appears to be comfortable being a physical back. And I was as pleased with the performance that I saw out of Jacquez Patrick as I was with Dalvin Cook. And the fact that you have a Dalvin Cook back, a Dalvin Cook that is capable of performing the way that many people would have projected him coming into the year, really lets you have some hope and optimism for what lies ahead. So I think it's appropriate to still have some of the questions concerning the defense. But as far as the offensive side of the ball, this was as a strong performance of the running game as you've seen. I believe they were 1 yard short of setting a school record for rushing yards. And not only Dalvin, not only Jacquez Patrick, but even Freddie Stevenson getting in with 2 touchdowns as well. Thought the play of DeAndre Francois was solid, was a step in the right direction. Some of the things that we talked about, the body language appeared to be a little bit better. He is still a work in progress. He's still a guy who makes mistakes. He still, I thought, ended some drives prematurely with some poor decision-making and just some lack of execution as far as throws. But Francois had a nice little rebound game from where he was last weekend. And really, in a large part of that was the play of the offensive line, a large step forward. Now, how much of this was just a byproduct of USF, we'll have to wait and see. But the offensive line certainly had their best performance of the year. I don't know how much of a difference adding Brock Rubel really means. That's tough to judge on a one-game sample size. But Rubel certainly didn't get you embarrassed and wasn't an individual that was nearly as likely to be put on skates and kind of show up in film at times where Leonard was really struggling with that. So on the whole, you have to like what you see. It was a nice effort, a nice bounce back effort where upon going down at the beginning of the game, you really had all the concerns about the defense, concerns about preparation, really concerns about the program immediately come to light. But I think you have to be happy with the performance that you have. You also have to be honest with yourself and not make too much of it. I don't think you have to, you don't have to feign concern to be worried with what you got out of the defense in the second half. Yes, Florida State was outscored 21-17 in the second half overall. But it was a nice bounce back performance, a nice win on the road. By the way, strong showing from the fans. I'll be interested to talk to more people who were there in person, but from TV, that looked to be every bit a 50-50 audience. Now, perhaps some of the color of the seating in that stadium makes it look to be a little bit more of a Florida State populated audience than it is. But that was a nice showing for the fan base there in Tampa and the I-4 corridor in general. So I will bring on producer Judson, who has been instrumental in kind of transitioning our podcast and making it a more polished performance. And Judson, as we kind of sign off and as we bring closure to this instant reaction podcast, just wanted to get some of your thoughts as far as what you saw out of this performance by Florida State.
Hey, glad to be on, Ingram. I found Dalvin Cook's performance to be very encouraging. Moving forward, he still, you know, as you saw, he still seemed to be worried about his shoulder, regardless of whether it's still hurt or not. I'm not positive. He seems to still be worried about it. When he was thrown down on the turf during one of his runs, he did go to the sideline and get that checked out. From my point of view, it looked as though Jimbo was really pushing his guys to play all 60 minutes. I think he noticed too that when it comes to this team so far, we've from quarter to quarter, it seems like Florida State has changed their identity as a team. Did you see the same thing from Dalvin? Do you think he wasn't running as he wasn't running as tentatively, but it seemed as though he wasn't getting the same amount of contact up front that he was against Louisville or Ole Miss. So I'm not necessarily sure if he's fixed. I just know that USF wasn't able to tackle him to a point where his shoulder might have caused him any problems. It was a lot more a lower body performance, I guess, from Dalvin, if you would say that.
Well, he certainly was. He was more decisive in what he wanted to do. He looked more comfortable, more confident, looked far more explosive. I mean, more. You saw more explosive. And take away the second play of the game. I'm obviously, look, when somebody takes it to the house on the first play of the drive, that's impressive. But just in the 9 yard runs, just right. In Dalvin, you know, getting back to the line of scrimmage, it was a different runner and appeared to have a little bit of a different mentality. So I don't know if there was a health issue that he became more confident in. I don't really want to speculate, and I'd want to look at more film as far as why. I do know as far as just what you can tell from a simple eyeball test that was far and away the best performance and best effort that you got out of Dalvin. Yeah, you're right. He continued to get his shoulder worked on, and that's going to be an issue throughout the course of the year would be my guess. But that level of performance from Cook and really the running backs as a whole was higher than anything you'd seen throughout the year, and really is one of the things that you have to have present if you're going to hope to have the year that Florida State talked about coming into the season. So again, I think with what happened last weekend, certainly you can always keep an eye on what's going on in the national picture. You're not naive to look at what Ole Miss did to Georgia today and think that maybe at some date and time that performance is able to help you. But when you lose 63-20, I think you need to suspend postseason conversation and playoff aspirations for a couple weeks and really get back to focus on what's in front of you. So in order to do that, they had to go on the road today and get a win. They'll have to come back to Florida State 1st of October and play North Carolina, a team that Florida State in all likelihood should win, and a team that Florida State matches up a little bit better as far as schematically and some of the talent on the roster. And really, I think this becomes more a season, for me anyway, that I judge them based on what goes on when they travel down to Coral Gables on October 8th with Miami. And then you have Wake Forest the week before that, or the week after rather, and kind of a bye, and you get to reset the season if you are a one-loss team, and we can begin to entertain the national conversation, the playoff conversation, if you are still a one-loss team coming out of that bye and going into the Clemson game. But for this week, we'll put a wrap on Florida State getting a 20-point win, 55-35 win over University of South Florida, and a win that they really had to have, a win that they had to have to avoid some of the sky is falling conversation that that certainly would have ensued, really to an extent already started before this game. But a little bit of a correction, a place where you can get the program back on track and start to look towards the rest of the season. So with that, I will bring about the Instant Reaction podcast to a close. Look forward to having Bud back. We'll record next Monday evening, have a product out for you Tuesday. And of course, as far as a play-by-play reaction and a play-by-play charting of the game, always suggest that people look at Tomahawk Nation for that. And we'll be able to have a little bit more of a perspective when we talk at the beginning of the week. But with this, Florida State travels to Tampa, picks up a win, moves to 3-1 on the season, and we will be back to talk to you on Monday night.